Okay, we continue with our studies in the practices of a disciple maker. What are those things that a disciple maker does, you know, as a lifestyle? We've talked about prayer, which is foundational to everything. We've also talked about the fact that we need to cultivate a lifestyle of obedience to the word of God. And then we talked about serving people in need. That becomes our way of life. That becomes a practice or a culture that we cultivate. And then in our previous session, we were looking at the need for us to initiate conversations and spark new relationships. In this particular recording, we're looking at the need for us to take risks in reaching outsiders or the lost or people who aren't like us. Jesus said, "I'm sending you out as sheep among wolves." Those two animals don't have much in common other than they are animals. They strut around on four feet. But they don't really have much in common. They don't sound alike. They don't look alike. They don't behave alike. But it says, "I'm sending you out as sheep among wolves." So what does that mean for you and I? It means that Jesus is actually sending us into places or territories or to meet with people who aren't like us. And in some cases, it could be risky. It could be risky. Evangelizing and discipling, if we do only those among people who are just like us, from our own culture, from our own social class, from our own neighborhood, it's not bad, but Jesus actually wants to send us out also to people who aren't anything like us. People whom reaching them portends some kind of risk to us. He's sending us out as sheep among wolves. So a disciple maker is on the lookout. He or she is conscious of the fact that he or she is required to not just reach people who are just like him or her, but people who could be unlike them. Again, just reminding us of the previous story, how Jesus reached out to the woman at the well of Samaria. So many barriers between them. Age barrier, gender barrier, not gender barrier, racial barrier, status or character barrier. Jesus was a holy rabbi. This was a sinful woman, and many other barriers. So Jesus models for us what it means to cross over into other people's worlds and to bring the life and the message of the gospel even to those who aren't like us. And if you look at Matthew chapter 8 and Matthew chapter 9, it would seem as if these two chapters back to back were a collection of encounters or events that Jesus had with different people who were very different from him. For example, in Matthew chapter 8, from verse 1, Jesus came down from the mountain and great multitudes followed him. And behold, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Then Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, "I am willing, be cleansed." And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Can you imagine? Jesus touched a leper. You don't do that. According to the law of Moses, if Jesus touches a leper, if anybody touches a leper, you become unclean. Why did Jesus, in the full glare of all the multitude, remember it says that in verse 1 that great multitudes followed him. So this was not a secret encounter. Why would Jesus in public touch a leper in a land that has laws that says if you touch the leper, you are unclean? Jesus was showing them a new reality is here. A new dispensation is here. The kingdom of God has come, and that you don't remain only with the clean. We go into the world of the unclean and we make them clean. From verse 5, we see Jesus healing the servant of the centurion. This is such a radical departure from what a rabbi in Israel would have done. The centurion belongs to the Roman army, and you do not help your enemies. At least that was the culture, that was the mindset. But Jesus came and he began to minister to somebody who was a leader in an oppressive army over the people of Israel. Literally, we could say that the Romans were like colonizers who were oppressing the Jewish people. But Jesus was willing to go into the house of this Gentile to heal his servant. I imagine other Jews saying, doesn't this man know what these Romans are doing to us? Why would he want to go and be a blessing to somebody who is different? That's like saying, you know, people who are terrorizing you, people who are oppressing your community, you choose to go and be a blessing to them. That is the reality of the kingdom. In many countries, in many of our communities across the world, people are divided along racial lines, divided along gender lines, divided along tribal lines. There's a lot of tribalism among our people in Africa, such that it's us against them. When you hear the name of somebody from another tribe, it's like you don't want to have anything to do with them. But the reality of the kingdom is that we are to take the risk in reaching outsiders. Jesus said, I'm sending you out as sheep among wolves. Look at further down in that passage where Jesus heals on the Sabbath. He healed many people, including demon-possessed people. Many times he would speak a word, but he would touch them. That is cutting against the grain. That is swimming against the tide. But that's how Jesus lived. That's how Jesus ministered. It was never about staying in the comfort of people who were just like us. It was always about crossing the lines into the world of other people who were not like us. Literally, we could say it was like taking risks to minister to people who were different in order to reach outsiders or to reach the lost. Again, from verse 28 of the same chapter, you see Jesus ministering to demon-possessed men. Very different from what most of us would do today. In your area, there may not be demon-possessed people. I'm not talking about now walking down the street and looking for every lunatic to minister to. I'm talking about finding people of a different religion, of a different race, of a different tribe, of a different maybe social status or economic class, and being willing to identify with them for the cause of the kingdom. When you go to chapter 9, you see what Jesus did, where he forgives and heals a paralytic. That is again very different, how Jesus went about it. And then further down, verse 9 of chapter 9, it says, as Jesus passed on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax office, and he said to him, follow me. And he arose and followed him. Jesus is recruiting disciples. He's a holy man. But he went to a crook, a thief, and invites him to follow him, to be one of his inner circles. That is very radical. If you and I were Jesus, and we were going to recruit people for our discipleship group, we'll look for people who are like us, who are considered clean, who are not somebody who is an avowed, somebody who everybody knows has a reputation for being a thief. Not a hated person like a publican, like a tax collector. But Jesus recruited a tax collector to be one of his. What was he doing? Taking the risk of being misunderstood by the religious elite. Taking the risk. And of course he was. A few verses down, it says that Pharisees came and complained and say, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? So he risked his reputation to be seen with such people. A disciple maker is not hemmed in to his own culture, hemmed in to her own social status, but they are willing to associate with outsiders or people that you would consider among the lost in order to bring them in. Look at verse 18. Jesus allowed a woman to touch him. A woman who had an issue of blood. In the Old Testament, Jesus would have automatically been considered unclean. But he ministered to her all the same. Though she was a different gender and she was not clean according to Jewish custom or the laws of Moses. But he allowed. And then Jairus' daughter, look at what happened in Matthew 9, verse 25. The Bible says, but when the crowd was put outside, he went in and took her by the hand, and the girl arose. Again, you don't touch a dead body. In the laws of Moses, you touch a corpse, you are unclean. You are put outside the camp for a number of days. But Jesus took her by the hand. Why couldn't he just speak the word like he did in the case of Lazarus? He touched her. And the Bible says, and the report of this went out into all that land. So it wasn't a secret affair. But what was Jesus doing that even among the dead, he is Lord? And he brought life because he chose to identify with people who weren't necessarily like him. And Jesus healed the blind from verse 27. And Jesus ministered to the mute man in verse 32. But further down, lastly, you see in Matthew 9, same chapter, 35 to 38, the Bible says he saw people who were distressed, people who were in need, people who were scattered like sheep without a shepherd. These are the multitudes, confused, weary. These are not people like him. Jesus wasn't scattered. He wasn't confused. Jesus was not distressed. But yet, he ministered to them. Bible says he healed them. Now, a disciple maker takes risks to minister to people who are not necessarily like him or her. Differences in gender, differences in age, differences in tribe, differences in belief systems, differences in economic status. We cross the line so that we can bring the reality of the gospel into the world of people who aren't like us. So, the application is that in the following days and weeks, let's take the risk to do something as we are prompted by the Spirit to go somewhere different, to meet people who are different and reach out to them. This is what it means to make disciples of all nations, not just of our nation, not just of our tribe, not just of our neighborhood, but how about looking out? Jesus says, lift up your eyes and see the harvest. How about raising our perspective to see people who are far from God and then doing something intentional to take the gospel to them? We have friends who are part of teams in the city of Jos in Nigeria who are reaching out to people in the jungles. Jungles is not really a jungle with trees and swamps. It's a place where drug dealers and drug people who are addicted to drugs, where they gather to smoke, you know, and criminals and gangs, you know, people who are just like the rejects of society. And there are a number of such jungles in that city. But they go out there. They intentionally take the gospel to them. Acts of kindness, mercy ministries, serving them, especially in the midst of the current pandemic. They go out there and they make the love of God real and tangible to these people. And the Spirit of God is drawing people to the gospel such that groups are beginning to form. People are beginning to study the Bible in these jungles. People are beginning to abandon their habits and their ways of life. And God is breaking their addictions because there are people who took the risk to cross over into that world among outsiders or people who are lost. So let's make disciples not just among people who are like us, not just people who are near to us, not just people who look like us. Jesus set us an example that our discipleship approach should include people who are not necessarily like us. God wants to lead us to such people. Let's stay open and sensitive to him and take the risk of being sheep among wolves.